As a Christian leader, a church leader, a pastor, you will encounter many people who do not agree with you, and you do not agree with them. In fact, they believe things that are the opposite of what you believe. And yet, we are called to be people smart in relation to those with whom we disagree. The Apostle Paul encourages us to be people smart in evangelism. Colossians 4 verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Be wise, meaning be people smart. What you say, what your body language gives off, how you evaluate what they're doing in that they don't know the Lord. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Be someone with a good reputation. 1 Timothy 3, 6 and 7. He must not be a recent convert. This is talking about those who are ordained. And he or he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So we are to have a good reputation with those, many of whom will not agree with us on many issues. To talk with those who disagree with us, never forget to be kind and forgiving in all relationships. Ephesians 4, 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. To be kind, compassionate, to be those who are not argumentative and those who do not have a chip on our shoulder, but to be kind and compassionate. When people talk with us, they see that in our heart we have that peace and joy. To take responsibility in being people smart as leaders. I love what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anyone. Now here's an example, very people smart, to live taking responsibility for what you do with not meddling in other people's business. Be someone who outsiders look at and say, you know, that person carries their own weight in society. They are someone that I want to get to know. So let's talk now very practically about how to talk with those we disagree. First of all, we have to understand that we need to remove aggression and passive aggression in our hearts. When we are talking with people about life, about issues, about anything, discuss in a way that builds a person up. Discuss without malice. James 4 verse 1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You know, many people were raised in a family where there's so much debate and argument and some bad habits of aggression and passive aggression occurs. Now, what's aggression? Aggression is that you launch into someone that you disagree with and start accusing them of being stupid or you don't know any better, and you have that attitude, that aggression attitude, or the passive aggression, where essentially you disagree with someone and you're not quite aggressive, but you throw little digs and barbs into conversations like, yeah, you know, if you knew this, you would know that. You know, those forms of aggression or passive aggression have to be removed when discussing with people. In ministry, if you're aggressive or passive aggressive, it will hurt your ministry. Always check your motives. Make sure that you are not comparing yourself to someone else so that you feel aggressive toward them. You know, and a lot of times we see stories like that, you know, even the prodigal son and his brother, you could really see the competitive relationship that the oldest brother felt toward the youngest brother. You could see that the oldest brother wasn't about how can I bring my younger brother in the fold? He was more comparison. You know, getting the attention of the father was more important and being recognized than to love his younger brother. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So in our hearts, as we meet people, we cannot have that attitude of aggression and comparison on how we compare to them, how they compare to us, because God looks at us and we come empty-handed before God, needing His salvation. Those who have been forgiven much need to be those who can dole out forgiveness. God will be the final judge on so many, on all issues, and we don't have to start putting the God role in our lives. We just need to be those who, without malice, without hypocrisy and envy or slander of any kind, talk with people. And when someone disagrees with us, we are not trying to knock them down. When we disagree with someone, we are to have respectful discussions, not debates. Salty conversations full of grace. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. The idea of seasoned with salt is preserving. That anytime we talk with someone, we have this preserving respect and discussion of in a way that glorifies God, that is peaceful. You know, many times there are some who have formed debating habits, like everything is a debate. And in a debate, you don't have to really feel a certain way. You just sort of take the devil's advocate is a phrase that's used in English. And just think about that. The devil's advocate? In other words, you're taking the role of the devil's advocate here. You don't really believe what you're talking about, but you're just taking the accuser role for this discussion. Now, I know many times this can be innocent in a sense like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. But in general, as a Christian leader, it's best not to play the devil's advocate. In fact, it's better to say, are there other opinions here? Let's talk about, let's as we talk in America, we say, let's green light about something. Let's put all the options on the table where no one is sort of debated against. You're wrong, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate. Let's be respectful as we talk with one another. So, in our talking with people that we disagree, let's look for the common ground first. Make disagreements less, and don't call attention to it so much. Avoid being opinionated in your discussions. We see a great example of this in Acts 17. In verse 22, we read, Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see in every way you are very religious. Now think about that moment. The Apostle Paul comes into a place where people very vehemently disagree with the Apostle Paul. He stands up in that place, and the first thing he says is he sees a common ground. I see in every way you are very religious. Now, I will tell you right now, that's an important common ground. I would even say in America and other parts of the world, religious freedom, the freedom of the soul to choose whose they will be, what their eternal destiny, what their beliefs about judgment, what their beliefs spiritually are about, that's an important area of agreement. Now, we may disagree beyond that, but Paul shows us right there, there's common ground, even with people who are entirely different faiths to what he holds to. He says, men of Athens, I see in every way you are very religious. Now, when I say common ground, I'm not saying accommodation. I'm not saying that you change your beliefs. I'm just saying when you're talking to people who disagree with you, still try to find common ground. Be pleasant. Don't be rude. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. In Psalm 133:11, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. So whether it's someone who's outside the church or whether it's someone in your family, your church, in your community who's a believer, have it as our rule of thumb. Be pleasant always. Always be pleasant. Always be someone who's people, when they talk about you, your reputation as one is, that person is pleasant. That person is great to be around, even if they disagree with me. Here's one. Generally, stay out of politics. Unless, of course, you are in them. If you're a representative and you're here, a representative in the government, and you're learning bivocational things, yeah, you're in politics. And you're a Christian in politics. Congratulations. But I would say, as a general rule of thumb, politics brings a lot of fruitless debates. And as at Christian Leaders Institute, we all have different politics. We all see the world a little different. And if we want to destroy Christian Leaders Institute, we can start getting political. The same holds in general. In your life, exercise your civic duty and vote. Share with a few of your friends your beliefs. But in general, keep the debates to a minimum. They can be so polarizing and they can discredit you as a Christian leader. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Apply your respect equally, rich or poor, giving or greedy, straight or gay, Muslim, Hindu, Catholic or Protestant, believer or unbeliever, friend, family, enemy, Democrat, Republican, or independent. Those are United States political categories. In other places of the world, they'll be different. Those with or without a record. That means those who have been in trouble with the law or those who haven't. Everyone. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 27 through 31, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, in my list, I talked about people here that we will disagree with. And how could it be that no matter who it is, when they look at us, they see the winsome love of God and the respect to other people as creatures of God, even if we disagree with them? I really believe that so many of these issues that create such angst and pain in the world are a misinterpretation of Christianity and their view about those who disagree with Christianity. I believe if we would be like Mother Teresa a little more, just love those very different from us. If we would be those who, when people came to us, they could see that we would disagree on some issues. But there's one thing about that Christian respects everybody who comes into their life, the proper due respect. Someone who, even in very controversial issues, does not throw gasoline, does not call names, does not exhibit hate in any form, but always care and love for whoever God puts in our lives. Here are some practical tips. A summation of many of the things we've been talking about. One, find areas of agreement. Be agreeable. Let being agreeable be your default setting. Find ways to minimize disagreements. Number two, if there is a way to find common ground, find it. Number three, stay pleasant and not rude. Number four, do not take offense and seek not to be an offense. You know, when someone says something that really gets you mad, or as we say around Christian Leaders Institute at times, pushes your buttons, choose not to allow your buttons to be pushed. Choose not to take the bait. Choose not to be those who all of a sudden blow off in anger and start becoming passive aggressive or aggressive. Number five, admit when you are wrong. You don't have to be right or win all the time. Even if you are wrong, be one who says it. Why not? Why try to be on a team when essentially you know at heart it is the wrong team to be on? Number six, generally stay out of politics. You know, as pastors, we're into a very controversial area ourselves, that is religion, spirituality. To be heavy into politics and to be pastors, people smart would say, be very careful about politics. Number seven, encourage someone when they make a good point. Okay, so someone is disagreeing with you, and you very much have another opinion than them. Well, what you could do is always keep making the arguments and always, I disagree, I'm not with you on that. And you could always make those arguments. Or if someone has a good point, make sure you tell them that's a good point. You know, I remember years ago in the abortion debate, and I remember as a pastor, there were a few people in my community who were very much in opposition to my opinion on this. And I remember in the early days, I would like always rally and I would call them all kinds of names and they would call me all kinds of names. And in time, I became more people smart. And one of the things later on, one of the arguments that those who disagreed with me made was like, all the children in orphanages and need adoption and where are the Christians to adopt and everything like that. You know, and right away I remember saying, you know, you're right. Christians should adopt more. And I became excited to be part of PASS, which was about Christian adoption and all of those other things. Because essentially if someone's making a good point, even if their worldview or many of their beliefs are very much against what you believe, be one who dialogues in such a way as when someone who you disagree with makes a good point, acknowledge it as a good point. Be respectful. That doesn't mean you agree with everything. Number eight, respect everyone deeply as creatures of God. And don't pick some you'll respect and some you don't. Like, I believe that way in the whole debate about gay, transgender issues. And in some ways, 25, 30 years ago, there was debate on Christians who remarried, and then there'd be all sorts of angst and anger about that. And really, the Bible says Christians should not divorce and not be remarried. Is there forgiveness? As a consensus, we believe today there is forgiveness. But in general, I remember those days on how many people, they felt more disrespected than disagreed with. In many of these debates that rage today, even if someone who is gay or transgender or someone very different from ourselves, we can disagree, but let's not disrespect. Let's be those who keep the relationship, the appropriate relationship opened. And let's not be of those who come off like the angry Christians that are against people like this. In fact, we're the ones, Christianity is the ones who would rescue babies from Romans who were putting them to death. We've been the ones historically that have shown hospitality. We've been the ones who have shown great love and made the most of opportunities for people who do not know the Lord. We should keep that up. Our reputation should not be a reputation to look at any group and point the finger. Even Muslims, Hindus, other religions. People who disagree with us, and it can be hard because in some parts of the world, one group is persecuting another group, and what do? But as for us, as Jesus said, if someone wants your cloak, give them your tunic. We are to respect everyone deeply as creations of God. Number nine, Do not harbor ill will to those who disagree with those you disagree with. Don't harbor ill will. Don't become bitter. Don't bring your disagreements into the next time you see that person. Forgive. Number 10, be warm. Smile. And a blessing to everyone, even those you disagree with. Number 11, be very slow to use the God card. That is like saying, I'm right because I speak for God. And you can do this in various ways. If you disagree with someone and they really get you mad and you know what you're saying is in the Bible, sometimes it's easy for Christians just to say, the Bible says it this way. And even how we say it, we really are calling God down on our side in a debate. We are not tenderly talking to them and even presenting the Word of God as the Word that brings healing and life many times. We could just use this as our quick default button. If someone's disagreeing with us and we think that we are on God's side, we just pull down a passage and throw it right into someone's face. Be very careful about doing that. Instead, listen more. Everybody knows there's a disagreement. Take most of these issues that we disagree with. It's obvious there's disagreement. That's clear. So we want to be obviously a respectful blessing, even in dialoguing with people that we disagree with. And lastly, number 12, practice the above at home, in your family. This is a great, in your own families, this is a great place, because in families, I will tell you this, there will be disagreements. Practice these people smart principles at work. Wherever you are, keep practicing talking to people. Because, you know, evangelism itself is a ministry to someone who disagrees with you on the hope you have. So in general, we want to be those who live out the gospel, live out the freedom of and the joy of the gospel. We want people to look at us and say, you know what? I am interested in who they serve, and we serve Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, am I saying there's not room for God's judgment? Oh, yes. There will be a final day. There will be a time when God looks at all of our works and we stand before Him, and we are to be in Christ, because for those who much has been forgiven, we are to forgive much. So let it be that in this journey of life that we have as in pastoring, leading, we are those who basically, no matter who is out there, we have this respectful, this attitude of bringing blessing to those in our life, that everyone who sees us knows, whether you disagree with that person or not, that person loves and loves God's creation, but even more loves Christ Himself. That's my encouragement on how to be people smart in relation to those with whom you disagree.